from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Taranj Yegyazarian moved to the U.S. as a teenager when the Iran hostage crisis dominated headlines. Yet she remembers that only one of her neighbors knew where Iran was. Closing that knowledge gap about her native country, and more broadly the Middle East, has been a big part of Yegyazarian's career as a playwright and as artistic director of Golden Thread Productions, a San Francisco theater company that for the last 20 years has put on plays about the Middle East with performers from Iran, Egypt, Syria, among other countries. Yegyazarian joins us as part of Forum's First Person series, which features the local innovators, leaders, and notable characters who make the Bay Area unique. Good morning, Taranj Yegyazarian.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. Can I ask you just to start where you were on election night?
We gathered a group of friends at my house with plenty of alcohol to watch the election results. Yes, and we watched with trepidation and consumed a lot of alcohol.
Do you remember what your reaction was when the tide turned towards President Donald Trump in a surprise victory?
I was shocked. The thought that came to my mind was that I don't think I have it in me to do this again.
And what was this?
Fight.
For?
I felt like it was an attack and it was a backlash, and it almost felt like another 9/11 or another, you know, invasion that we suddenly now had to gear up to fight.
Has the election caused you to rethink or retool anything at Golden Thread Productions?
I think once the shock once I coped with the results and the reality, there were a lot of people who were reacting in a very immediate way. We must do this, we must do that. And I found myself sort of resisting that urge. And I needed to sort of step back and rethink, how did this happen? And how is this possible after so many years? And why are we where we are? And I felt, for myself, I needed to do some fundamental sort of soul searching and looking at the country and looking at the world and, you know, sort of reevaluating. And I find myself continuing that process and needing to really address things in a more sort of in a deeper way, as opposed to sort of knee-jerk reactions.
What would be an example of that?
So at Golden Thread, for example, we have this program called Deeper Dialogues, which, you know, words have become meaningless. That's like one of the problems that we're encountering, and our current play is actually sort of addressing that a little bit. But, you know, I feel like concepts have been devalued. Something as amazing as peace, as deeper dialogues, as universal human values, you know, everybody uses it and they mean very different things. And so I think it's important to step back and really rethink, what do we mean and how do we clarify what we mean and how our work is different than so many other people who are making very similar claims.
Tell us about the play that's currently running at Golden Thread Productions called Autobiography of a Terrorist. It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. It's a satire. And it is about a young boy growing up in the U.S., Iranian, in the middle of the Iran hostage crisis. And it deals with identity politics. It deals with bullying, the immigrant experience. And it's sort of... it really resists the urge that so many people have to just explain issues in black and white terms. It really unpacks the layers and complexities of the immigrant experience and the multi-identity experience.
It's been described as poking fun equally at liberals and conservatives.
Absolutely. And I think it's unsettling. I think liberals are as prone to resisting criticism as are conservatives. Until we look at ourselves, we can't evaluate others, I think, and we can't criticize others. We must criticize ourselves. And that's what the play does. It claims to know everything and present everything initially in black and white terms. And it starts as, in a way, bad theater. And then as it begins to accept its own shortcomings in limiting its argument in like black and white terms, then it becomes more complicated. Then production values improve, the acting improves, and the story becomes, a human story, becomes a complicated story.
Yes, and that complicatedness, I think, is something that you have wanted to help share. You said something interesting to my colleague, Cy Musiker, who's an arts reporter here for KQED. And you said that people demand more programming about the Middle East now, right, as a result, especially of so much attention on people from the Middle East, right, or who are ethnically associated with countries in the Middle East, but that they often want programming to, quote, confirm their already held beliefs.
Yes.
So what is an example of already held beliefs that people have that they want confirmed to be able to engage with?
Well, I mean, it's the basic immigrant narrative that we had a tough life in the country that we left behind, or as a Middle Eastern woman, that I was oppressed. I had access to nothing. And then I came to the U.S. and found Western values and found myself. And that is, absolutely untrue. I grew up in a very matriarchal family with incredibly talented, independent, progressive women who were, in the avant-garde of Iran in 1970s. And they are my role models. I did not want to leave Iran. I was 14, so my family decided that I must leave. And then, as it turned out, I couldn't go back for many, many years. And I was very unhappy. For me, the U.S. was not the bastion of civilization or liberty. And it took me a long, long time to sort of reconcile the reality of my life and really find myself here and figure out how to serve the society that I'm a part of.
We're talking with Taranjia Gazarian. She's founding artistic director and playwright at Golden Thread Productions. And the play Autobiography of a Terrorist plays through May 7th at Potrero Stage in San Francisco. You've talked about how the experience of coming here and realizing how little knowledge and understanding there was about Iran played a role in your adult life and the things that you chose to do as an adult. Can you talk about that experience of coming here and at the time when the Iran hostage crisis was just dominating headlines?
So we came in December 1978, a few months before sort of the actual revolution officially, I guess, happened. And the hostage crisis happened in November 1979. So it was a year into my life in the U.S.
Where did you move
to specifically? In Chelmsford, Massachusetts. And so this is a suburb right near the border of New Hampshire. And I was going to a Catholic high school that I didn't, necessarily connect with. and of my neighbors, there was only one family that was, that consumed news and was interested in my story and asked me questions. Other than that, no one else really knew much or cared to ask, even during the hostage crisis, while, you know, those nightly updates were happening on the news. When I made a presentation in high school about Iran, you know, with the little map, and I wore a little, you know, folk dress and did my little Iran, you know, wow, wow thing. And it seemed in the classroom no one had heard of Iran, which surprised me.
Yes. How did that affect you?
I mean, you know, at the time you don't really think about it. You're like, okay, well, this is how it is. Nobody knows where my country is, even though my country is on the news every night. Nobody knows anything about my people or where I come from. And this isn't, you know, I'm Armenian and Iranian and I'm Christian and Muslim. Like, those layers of complexity didn't even enter the conversation. It was just like, here's where we are. You know, this is how many people live there. And these are the languages we speak. And I don't know. I mean, I think I probably spent the first 10 years of my life just being in shock of where I live and how it is.
But then you were motivated to say that needed to change. What did that?
I must confess that I wasn't conscious. This wasn't a conscious effort. I found myself telling these stories. I found myself recovering from the shock of displacement through telling stories to people who cared. And I found people who cared, and I found people who were interested. I found people, whether they're immigrants or American, you know, born in this country, people who also felt like outsiders. And as I found those people, I developed a language for how to communicate that feeling of being an outsider and how to turn that into a positive thing, as opposed to, you know, the disease that sort of gnaws at your stomach, you know.
And you also found that you wanted to tell these stories and there weren't very many venues to do it.
That's right. Yeah. So that was the next problem. Was that, okay, now I think I know what I want to do, but, you know, how do I do it and where do I do it? And is there an audience for it? I mean, I think that continues to really be a question. Once I moved to California and I went to San Francisco State to study theater, I began to build a theater community. You know, Theater Bay Area is an amazing organization that has built a theater community here. And by connecting to them, all of a sudden you become part of a family. And everyone is so supportive and generous in sharing information and skills. So very quickly, you know, there was a company and we were working and people came and it seemed like everything was great.
We're talking with Bay Area playwright Taranj Yegyazarian about plays, by and about people from the Middle East, about her 20 years running Golden Thread Productions as part of Forum's first-person series on local innovators who make the Bay Area unique. I'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation. What would you like to ask her? Our phone number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org. Post your comments on Facebook, on Twitter, or on our website, kqed.org/forum. And now Golden Thread Productions, Taranj Yegyazarian, is celebrating 20 years. You've said before that you were shocked to even get here. I know it's tough. I mean, it's tough for theater companies to survive. But what do you think caused Golden Thread to persevere?
I think, you know, there were milestones. You know, certainly 9/11 made our company very visible and sort of put a different level of sort of social responsibility on the shoulders of the company that we rose up to that responsibility. And we, I feel we were ready for it. And we embraced that visibility. And we also embraced the idea that there needs to be a national Middle Eastern American voice. And so the efforts to create networks of partnership and identify artists across the U.S., and also artists outside of the U.S. that were doing similar work. I think those efforts started. And then in 2006, it's interesting, in 2005, we have one of our most successful Reorient festivals. It received rave reviews. And
can you describe what the festival is? Yeah.
So Reorient is a festival of short plays. It's one of our signature programs. It was established in 1999. It was an effort by a small company that can only produce one or two plays a year to sort of encapsulate the diversity of the Middle East in one evening.
And wow, that's a tall order.
It is a tall order, but I think it's actually been a very successful program. And I would say that it's probably one of our most visible and most popular programs. So in 2005, we had a Reorient Festival presented at Fort Mason, and it was one of the best programs, received rave reviews. And then the funding dried. I don't know what happened, but we had like no money after that. And by 2006, we were on the verge of shutting down because we had no money. And thankfully, San Francisco Art Commission at that point, we had a proposal pending there. So we received some funding from San Francisco Art Commission to hire a managing director. And the lesson is that you can't do everything by yourself. Like, this is, yes, every effort requires one person to really be the driving force, but that can't go on forever. So I think the company has survived because we have invested in building a community and building a staff and building an organization that is made up of, you know, a number of people that share similar values.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. Augustina in Stanford. Hi, Augustina.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I wanted to ask Taranj if she has any thoughts on how her Armenian background shaped her experience growing up. Specifically, she mentioned growing up in a matriarchal family, and I was wondering, as someone with an Armenian heritage myself, if she thought that had anything to do with that.
Augustina, thanks.
I think being Armenian is an very important part of my experience and growing up. I actually grew up with my dad's side of the family, which is the Armenian side of the family. So I grew up, you know, celebrating the various, you know, celebrations, Easter and Christmas, and learning Armenian and speaking Armenian to my grandmother. So that the experience of being different, I think, was already part of my life, even in Iran, because I was part of a minority, a Christian minority in a predominantly Muslim society. The women in my family were equally progressive, I think, on both sides, both the Muslim women on my mother's side of the family. My mother, she was among the first film stars in Iran. And, you know, she was a rebel, and she and my father had a nightclub in the 60s. And then on my dad's side of the family, my aunts, one of them was studied music in Moscow and then came back and sort of really developed choral music in Iran. So they were, you know, they were artists, and they were progressive and active. And
so a lot of things intersecting to
yes,
create
yes.
your experience,
and
including
amazing role models, which I can never, you know, live up to.
Well, Augustina, thanks for the question. And let's go to Edith in San Francisco.
Hi. I was actually listening, and I was amazed at the similarities between Ms. Ghazarian's life and mine. I also left in 1979, and I found it really interesting that she found catharsis in sharing her story, whereas I did the complete opposite. I went silent for 2 years until I learned English and was able to assimilate fully, and I commend her and can't wait to see her play. And my question is whether she's thinking of actually writing a memoir of her experiences.
I am embarrassed to even think about writing a memoir. I feel that's thank you for asking that. I will add that to my list. And I will say that it took me a several years before I began sharing my story. Like you, I shut down. I think the 4 years of going to high school were my shut down years. And we moved every year. It's a similar story to many other immigrants. We moved every year, and we lived closer to Boston each time we moved. And I ended up going to 4 different high schools. As a result, I really had no friends in high schools, or didn't really experience that level of connection. But there was an Armenian youth organization in the Boston Bay Area, and that's where I sort of found my community and found an opportunity to thrive creatively and artistically.
Well, Lee wants to know, what does Ms. Yargazarian think about Persepolis, both the animated movie and the graphic novel? How does it dovetail with her experiences both in Iran and abroad?
I love it. It's there are many parallels. I read the novel over in one night, and I think I cried the whole time. And even watching the movie, I still can't watch it without, getting emotional and crying, because there are so many parallels. It mirrors my experience very much. Other than, I wasn't homeless or anything, thank God, that I had a family.
It was lovely. Yes. Greg writes, I'm shocked that your guest was shocked at the Trump election. She's lived through decades of U.S. xenophobia. Did she think Americans had suddenly become enlightened? You've talked about wanting to take Golden Thread Productions and the conversations that it provokes outside of urban areas and into more rural, Midwestern parts of the country. What would you like to see happen? What kinds of conversations?
I haven't thought that through, because, we try touring and it's very difficult to tour financially. It's expensive. And also, once you go to a different city, you need to have an organization to market and do your audience outreach. And we didn't have that. And we found that difficult, so we stopped touring. But we have a children's program that tours schools and libraries. So I think that's one opportunity to reach different communities. And then there is sort of this online community that I'm more and more curious about. Ways that we could, do live broadcast of conversations. There are union rules that prohibit us from live broadcast of shows, but maybe we could do live broadcast of conversations. And so that's something that I'm curious about and want to, look into more.
What have you found has been consistently the response when people have seen your plays, especially people who may not have been familiar with the people within it, the stories within it, of the Middle East itself? What do you find tends to be the consistent positive reaction you get?
I think people are surprised. It's often what they see on stage is unexpected. It's not what they expected to see from a Middle Eastern theater company, whatever that was in their mind. And they're also surprised to actually find themselves in the stories.
Like the real human, a shared human connection?
It's a shared human connection, but it's also, the stories are stories of friendship and family and betrayal and not having enough money to do what you want to do. And I think we all connect with that.
It's interesting, when I read, and you've said this fairly consistently in other interviews, that people are surprised that their stories and experiences are reflected in the experiences of people from the Middle East. It struck me as almost a bittersweet comment, because it also at the same time then reminds us how successfully, right, people from the Middle East have been stereotyped by larger society in a way that has in some ways dehumanized.
Yes, and I think one of the things that we're noticing now is people are very comfortable with thinking of people from the Middle East as, again, oppressed or victims. Let's say, Syrian refugees. We see their images And
sure, when they're not thinking of them as villains, for example.
Right, right. So villain or victim, like those are the two images that we often encounter. And people are not prepared to see other stories or meet other characters. They're not prepared, for example, with Autobiography of a Terrorist, people are not prepared for silliness. They're not prepared for comedy. Also, another problem is that often in the U.S., we only encounter other countries when they're going through turmoil. We don't really learn about them during times of peace. So we don't know how they behave like normally every day. You know, what do they look like when they have breakfast? And what do their schools look like? You know, we only see them when they have lost everything. And that's the image that's in our brain, you know. And so it's difficult to counter that and erase that from people's minds and replace it with something that's more, again, layered and complicated and joyful and silly.
Yes, complicating the narrative as yes. always. Harry from Lafayette, join us.
Do I do?
Hi, Harry, are you there?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
No, I did mention the reason I called was this story, she's from Armenia. Ellie's Armenian origin, and she said the theater company after 9/11 became more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
The story I'm trying to analogize this with, she's probably aware of the collapse of the Turkish form Byzantine Empire and the elements that worked towards, it's called the ultimate deception. The motives and operational details are very similar to 9/11, but this happened around 1200. This is kind of end of the internal explosion of the Christendom.
Well, thanks for sharing that analogy. Appreciate it. We just have seconds left, so I'm going to try to get one more question in, if I could, Taranj. It's from John, who writes, my son's been fascinated by theater since his freshman year in high school. What advice would you have for a 17-year-old interested in participating in community theater performances?
To absolutely go out there and audition and meet people, see more shows, expose yourself to as much theater as possible to find what you like and don't like, and then, you know, pursue theater in university and outside of it. Absolutely. It's great.
Well, Taranj Yagazarian, thank you for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bay Area playwright who runs Golden Thread Productions, which has been running for 20 years, and its current play is Autobiography of a Terrorist. It plays through May 7th at Potrero Stage in San Francisco. More of Forum up next. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.